Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning and welcome to our book pick segment for this week. And we welcome our friends from Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York, and Manchester Center, Vermont. After spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, Patty Bunk joins us on this Tuesday morning with a terrific list of books to share. Patty, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Joe. Delighted to be here.
Always very nice to talk and to find out what's happening and great books that are making a splash in your store. So where would you like to begin?
Okay. There's lots happening. There's a lot to choose from. The stores are loaded up for the holidays, and there's beautiful stuff on the shelves. I've narrowed down an enormous list to about 13 books to talk about today. The first eight are picture books, except for one, which is among the picture books, but its title is The Book with No Pictures, and I'll get to that. I'd like to start by saying you're never really too old for picture books, so kids will outgrow shoes, but there's no reason to leave behind the utterly magical experience any of us at any age can have in just a few moments by simply turning the pages of a deeply imagined and masterfully crafted picture book. So I'd like to invite all of you to come by the Northshire in Manchester or Saratoga or head to your local bookstore, ask a children's bookseller to hand you a few great picture books, and allow yourself to leave this world for just a few minutes and take a journey, which actually leads me to the first book on my list, which is called Journey. It's by Aaron Becker. He won this year's Caldecott Honor for this book. It's a wordless wonder, absolutely no words, and the pictures are magical. It opens up with a sepia tone, kind of forlorn feeling as a girl sitting on a stoop. As the story progresses, there's a red crayon. She creates an arched doorway, enters a magically brilliant and colorful world where she finds adventure and danger. There's evil that she fights. She rescues an exotic purple bird who ultimately leaves her home to a boy with a purple crayon, which I think is definitely in a homage to Harold and the Purple Crayon, Crockett Johnson's book of 50 or so years ago. It's every time I pick this book up, I find something new. I've looked at it probably 15, 16 times, and there's a lot hidden in there. So I invite everybody to take a look at it. And just when you thought you couldn't get enough of it, the new book by Aaron Becker is called Quest, and the journey picks up where the heroine and her new friend and the lavender bird leave off and journey. And they're riding on a bike, it starts to rain, they take cover under a bridge, a haggard-looking king suddenly emerges from a door on the bridge and is urging them desperately to take and follow his map. The king is seized by guards, taken away through the same door, and the children see that he's dropped his orange crayon. They pick it up, and the adventure continues, seeking and saving the kingdom along the way. And all of this is just from the pictures. It's totally remarkable that an artist can actually do that. The third book on the list is The Farmer and the Clown by Marla Frazee, and also wordless, totally different tone. It's spare, earth-toned pencil drawings. Every line matters. It contributes to the mood. As we see in the beginning, a white-bearded, hard-working farmer who pauses to watch a circus train passing in the distance. And as he's watching, in horror, a child clown bounces from the train. And this begins a life-altering relationship for the farmer and for the clown, and actually for anyone reading the book. It's tender, it's heartwarming, it's profound. And I was in awe that in 32 pages and a handful of moments spent, I feel like this book is going to be with me forever.
It's a wonderful.
I highly, highly recommend
that's
that
beautiful.
One.
It's The Farmer and the Clown.
The Farmer and the Clown. And then fourth on the list, I'm sorry I'm rushing, but I think I picked too many books.
No, you're all right. You're at a good pace. You still have 10 minutes, so go.
Oh, good. Okay,
so
great.
Take your time.
Wonderful. The fourth book I chose is Mr. Waffles by David Wiesner, who's well known for several other books. He won 3 Caldecott Awards, one for Tuesday and Flotsam, which people may be familiar with. He won the Caldecott Honor for this one this year, and it's nearly wordless. It's exquisitely detailed illustration, and he has almost an architectural approach to his work that is so precise and yet very colorful and lush. He has a cat, Mr. Waffles, and the gesture of the cat, he totally captures cats, every move and every look on this cat's eyes and paws, you feel it's very genuine. And this cat, the book opens up as he's passing by his toys with no interest at all. He gets to a tiny spaceship that's in the lineup and starts tossing it around. And we see that the spaceship is actually inhabited by a crew of little aliens. And they're battered and bewildered as they've been tossed around. They're speaking in symbols, so they're little balloons where they're speaking. And I think it looks to me, if you look carefully, that you could actually decode this language. So kids might have a good time trying to figure that out. They are trying to figure out how to fix their ship to get on their way. They wind up having a dash from the cat, meeting some insects that live behind the walls, or ants and ladybugs, and it's this kind of beautiful story about friendship in the end, and how they help in discovery. There's cave-like writing on the inside of the walls, so there's a history where there have been other visitors to the behind the walls. It's totally magical, and as your heart lifts as you see them get back in their spaceship and take off and fly through the window, with the cat being left behind clawing at the window, missing them. It's charming.
Oh, that's great. So it's Mr. Waffles.
Mr. Waffles by David
Wiesner.
Wiesner.
All right. Yes. And the next is a book you mentioned briefly a moment ago.
Yes. So the book with no pictures, which is just what it promises to be, it has no pictures. And in contrast to these others, which had no words or very few words, this one is just words. And the point it's making is words can be silly and nonsensical and fun. And we're actually hearing the kids are having a great time tricking unsuspecting adults into picking up this book and reading it to them, because the deal in the book is you have to read every word, and there are silly, crazy words. So it's a kind of a wild read aloud, and the person reading it is a little bit thrown, but the audience is charmed. So that's a very different. I've never seen a book quite like this one before, and it's a lot of fun, and definitely, you know, urges kids to play with words.
It is B.J. Novak, who you may know from television and has done a lot of great work, but it's the book with no pictures.
Yes, and I believe this is his first book, so he might have
First for kids, yeah. He's did an adult storybook.
The next one is Mouse Mansion by Karina Chapman, and it is indescribable, actually. I don't know why I picked it, because I don't even know where to begin. It's not illustrated. It's actually photographs. And the photographs are of what this author actually built, which is a kind of miniature mansion, multi-roomed structure, many-tiered. And she built this amazing thing, and then these are the photographs of all the rooms in this place for a kind of a toy mouse family. It is lush. It's full, every little detail. It's unbelievable how much detail and how much time went into making this. It's got everything from the kitchen sink with a tiny little perfect faucet to a music room with all kinds of instruments and recognizable album covers, and there are books that you can recognize, and little, you know, the dish detergent and all kinds of jazz all over the house that you can actually see looks real. It's perfectly to scale, And you've got to see it to believe it. It's astounding. It's really one of those things you look at and think, wow.
That's
I kept
really
looking
great.
At the artist picture because you think this is going to be kind of a lunatic kind of a person. She looks like a really lovely, normal person.
That's good.
So, and young,
you never can tell in a picture, but that's good.
You never can tell.
All right.
So that's a fun one.
All right, next. And now we do have about 3 minutes, so I'll let you go from there.
Next one is Sam and Dave Dig a Hole, which is just plain fun. It's very simple pencil illustration. Sam and Dave are digging a hole, and they won't stop until they find something spectacular. It's worth looking at this book just for the eyes alone. A simple illustration, and there's so much expression in the eyes of the two boys and their dog who's traveling with them. It's just really, you just see the art involved in just being able with a gesture, two lines in black, be able to express so much emotion. And the dig goes deeper and deeper. We, the readers, and the dogs see just how often they miss some really spectacular jewels that are hidden along the way. But they keep digging until they fall and fall and fall through to what looks like home, but we're not quite sure. So the whole story is spectacular. The next one is Sparky by Jenny Ophel and Chris Appelhans. And this is also lovely, very simple illustration. A girl who's persistently begging for a pet, and her mother finally says, okay, you can have any pet you want as long as it doesn't need to be walked or bathed or fed. So the challenge is finding such a creature. And with the help of a librarian, the girl decides on a sloth. And when it arrives, from naming it Sparky, suggesting more energy than a sloth can muster, to arranging many unsloth-like games and activities, we see Sparky in each frame just being Sparky. And ultimately, that may be just the point. It's a beautiful kind of message in a simple tale.
Sparky.
And that was Sparky by Jennifer Ophel and Chris Appelhans. So I'm going to kind of speed through the next ones because we're moving into older kid books. Witch's Boy, which is for 10 and up, very reminiscent of a traditional fairy tale, yet completely original. The author, Kelly Barnhill, has created an absorbing, incredibly beautiful, very detailed world you feel you're walking through with its own creation story and legends of lost magic, unlikely friendships, unexpected heroes. It's tender and lovely as this main character kind of finds his way to himself and finds his courage and his strength. Jacoby, which is for 12 and up by William Ritter, debut novel, set in 19th century New England. The protagonist is a 19-year-old girl who's spunky, bold, determined, independent, very smart, and she finds a job with R.F. Jacoby, who's a detective, very Sherlock Holmesian, but with an added twist because he can see supernatural beings. And that comes in handy because there's a serial killer, and the killer happens to be a supernatural being. So they're on an adventure tracking it down. Great, and I'm hoping there'll be more books like that. It'll be a series because there's a lot of material there, and he did a brilliant job capturing the place and bringing the characters to life.
Now, Patty, I think I have to stop you there because we're out of time, but that's a great place. We've got a lot of stuff in. For more information on the North Shire Bookstore in Manchester or in Saratoga, you can go to their website. It's northshire.com, and you can see the full list there. You can also check it out on our website at wamc.org/roundtable. Patty Vaughn, great to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
Always great to talk to you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.